Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
Coming up on NBA Today, did we just witness the most improbable comeback of the year with the Lakers' win over the Bucks? How LeBron's supporting cast showed up in a big way. And watch out, Giannis and Dame. Could the Knicks, yes, the New York Knicks, actually steal the two seed? I'll tell you which key player perk is set to return and why that could change everything. Plus, with Paolo Banchero set to join the show, Big Perk's got a big list of the best number one picks in the game right now. Who makes the cut will surprise you. NBA Today starts right now. Hey, welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's. I got my favorites in studio today. The one and only Kendrick Perkins, our senior writer, Brian Windhorst. I'm Malika Andrews. And Big Perk, last week, let me get this metaphor right. You said, quote, the Lakers were dead bird tall grass when it came to their playoff hopes? Well, we could continue that metaphor, right? Tall grass, big deer to fear, right? Especially without LeBron James. But Anthony Davis and company had a little something to say about that, right? So we mentioned it. No LeBron James in this first game of a six-game road trip for the Los Angeles Lakers. So the Milwaukee Bucks had a 99% chance to win this with a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Interesting.
6 minutes left, though, in the fourth here. The Lakers down. Anthony Davis in the pick and roll there. He did bang knees, though, with Brook Lopez. He had it worked on, as you can see here in the break. And then a few plays later, the Lakers down. Clearly, Perk's knee wasn't bugging him that much.
No, and that's what happens when Anthony Davis becomes the primary number one option. We get the best version of him. Look at him stretching the floor, Wendy.
Shooting jumpers. This is AD at his best when he's outside the paint making people guard him in space.
Well, and then Austin Reeves pulling up over Dame from Dame range there to make this a single possession game. Now the final seconds here. Giannis can't complete the alley-oop.
Mildly controversial.
Mildly controversial. Davis, Giannis, they get tangled up on this. And this is actually what Giannis said after the game about this play.
For some reason, I wasn't able to get the ball. I wasn't able to, you know, end the game.
All right, so for some reason, he wasn't able to get the ball. So to overtime we go. 2 minutes left in OT. Game tied at 108. Watch here. Anthony Davis literally holding Giannis back from joining the break here. Spencer Dinwiddie, he'd struggled to shoot, but not that time. Knocks down an all-important three, and the Lakers get the first lead of the game. So 23 seconds left here. The Bucks down, 115-114. Davis, huge block there, Perk.
Ooh, anchoring that defense and the drop coverage. And look, on the scramble as well, but guess what? Dame Dollar.
This is why they brought Damian Lillard in for moments like that. But tied game here, 3.1 seconds to go. This is the guy you want to have the ball in his hands.
And that's the guy you want blocking shots is Anthony Davis.
And I don't know about flipping this underhand. JD first. I don't know about that.
Bedtimes are now all being pushed back. And to the second overtime we go. Tie game here. Austin Reeves really starting to heat up. Bang, bang, Kendrick Perkins.
Yes, I mean, I tweeted this last night. I didn't know Austin Reeves was going to turn into Larry Bird.
And then Damian Lillard. That one just off the mark. Giannis trying to get up the shot there, but couldn't quite get it to go.
Uh-oh.
And now, what? Is that LeBron James joining the chants for Giannis, counting the time at the free throw line?
That was him. I mean, you know, Bron got to get some type of camera time.
What's that? They got to stay petty so you don't got to get petty kind of thing. The Lakers come all the way back, get them their most improbable win of the season. Here's Darvin Ham after the win.
Definitely top five of the season, might be top three. Just dealt with a lot of adversity throughout the entirety of the game. Was able to pull ourselves together, stay focused, never gave up. I always tell the team, you know, we gotta compete, be together, hold ourselves accountable, and have a next play mentality.
So the Lakers, they pull off a stunning comeback after trailing by 19 in the fourth quarter before storming all the way back to force overtime. The Lakers, they never led in regulation. They didn't lead until midway through the first overtime. By the way, that 19-point fourth quarter comeback is the fourth largest by any team this season, the second largest by the Lakers this year. So you know what time it is. It's time now for Big Man Ballin', brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN. And Kendrick Perkins.
Yes.
I know you were waiting, hoping to see a big man moment in this game, and you got it.
Well, it's been a while. First of all, hello world, since I've been in the studio, and I came in here and I'm uncomfortable. So the theme for the day is getting uncomfortable because it's hot in here today, and Malika got is steaming. So look, last night Anthony Davis, he made the Milwaukee Bucks uncomfortable, but he made Darvin Ham happy. Look at him stretching the floor, and look at the timing of the game right here. These are crucial three-point shots for AD. Being the number one option while LeBron James is out, being aggressive, stretching the floor. Look how he's stepping into rhythm. But you know the beautiful part about Anthony Davis is he plays both sides of the floor. This was Kentucky Anthony Davis. Watch who he leaves, Giannis Antetokounmpo to help and blocks the shot to make sure that Damian Lillard doesn't have an opportunity to end the game. This was AD at his finest. And guess what, Malika? AD turned into Wilt Chamberlain last night. Dominating, ninth career game with 30 points and 20 rebounds, third by most any player in the last 30 seasons with Shaquille O'Neal and DeMarcus Cousins, the company that he's guarding. Did you see what he had? 34, 23, 4 blocks. You talking about dominating and standing on business.
And he did that while racking up his minutes played as well. So we will see who is available tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies on the second night of a back-to-back. ESPN Bet. There he is.
Hey, handsome.
Is the official sportsbook of ESPN. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. You can check out Perk's Big Man Parlay exclusively in the ESPN Bet app if you want to ride with Perk or any of the other big men. But it wasn't just the Lakers big men, right, Kendrick? It was a true team effort here. Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, they were crucial. The Lakers, their starting backcourt, each went for over 25 points, 10 assists. They're the second duo this season to do that for the Lakers to reach those totals in a game. So here's the deal. The Lakers are now 6-4, right, without LeBron James in the lineup. That would actually mark the first time a LeBron team has a winning record without him in over a decade. So if this supporting cast, Brian, continues to be this consistent, can they meet the expectations that we set going into the season?
I don't think they're good enough defensively to be the team that they were last year, at least not yet. But AD playing this way is just such a huge thing. This is such a moment for AD. We should celebrate him more. I know Perk just talked about him, but
Perk will throw a parade.
This was a heavyweight fight against Giannis. Giannis had a 29-point triple-double. For AD to play this way, and like I'm not just talking about the stats. The stats were obviously awesome, okay? He is stretching the floor out of the paint. A3-pointers, this is what Darvin Ham's been dreaming about. Getting to the line, making clutch free throws. And Perk, on the defensive end, you understand this. He's switching back and forth between handling Giannis in the paint and guarding Dame Lillard on those move outs and switches and the pick and roll. The amount of the load that he carried last night in leading them was great. And one thing that's happened for the Lakers, the reason they're 8 games over .500, the reason they're back within sight of the 8th seed, in addition to AD, for making their threes. Since the All-Star break, they're the number 2 team in 3-point percentage. D'Angelo Russell has been hot. Austin Reeves has been hot. Both of them had great shooting nights last night. Look, Milwaukee has no excuse for losing this game. That call at the end of the game was very frustrating. 15 more free throws for the Lakers than the Bucks, which is a common refrain. Now 435 more free throws for Lakers opponents than the Lakers this year. The Lakers have more than their opponents. That's a frustration every single night for teams. But you can't blow a 19-point lead at home.
Right.
And the Lakers made the plays you need to do that, and it was their guards and AD that made it happen.
We've seen the Lakers beat the Milwaukee Bucks this season before, but because of the deficit in the fourth quarter and no LeBron James, this felt like their most improbable win of the season, particularly to start off this stretch that is all too important for them. But let's just set the playoffs aside for 1 second, because you said it, the 8th seed, potentially within reach here for the Lakers. How high can they go, Perk?
They could go pretty high, but you remember the theme of the day is getting uncomfortable, right?
But did you feel I turned on the AC?
No, we don't have to do that. but we need to have an uncomfortable conversation right now. Look, LeBron James, one of the greatest players, if not the greatest players to ever touch the damn basketball, okay? We know this. He's 39 years old. Last night was one of the signature wins that I peeped that they had this season. With you think about their signature wins, the Milwaukee Bucks twice and the Boston Celtics, both without LeBron James. Guess what time is? It's time to pass the torch. It's time for LeBron James to pass the torch. Look at these numbers without LeBron James. Anthony Davis is averaging 28 and 18 rebounds. D'Angelo Russell, almost 30 points, 7 rebounds, and 11 assists. Austin Hem Reeves, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. 6 assists. So we know that LeBron James is a mind of basketball, right? Mind of the game. That's what his podcast is called. So with him sitting on the sideline, he got to be observing and saying, maybe it's time for me to adjust when I come back. Maybe I might be holding these guys back just a little bit. Maybe I need to trust into these guys and pass the torch, but it has to come from a genuine place. It can't come from a place of, I'm going to see what you could do, and if you mess up, here it is, I told you so. You have to continue to have to build the confidence in these guys, because what they've shown me in these three signature wins is that they're capable of doing a lot more if allowed to, especially when LeBron James comes back into the mix.
Well, they do have a great advantage that LeBron sat out last night, and they have this game against Memphis tonight, and LeBron should be able to go. So
after Anthony Davis
what
played
you just
more
said,
than 50 minutes last
is
night.
Interesting. I think the sample size is a little small, but the fact – so now LeBron has to swing into action, which he's very capable of, and he's got to try to carry him tonight, because if they back up that incredible win with a loss in Memphis tonight, they're kind of where we all thought they'd be. We thought they'd be 1-1 in these games, and I think LeBron probably knew he was going to sit out one of them, and he picked the Bucks game to sit out because he thought he needed to have more from Memphis. So that's what they're going to do. And so he's got an opportunity to sort of pay it back for those guys who put in huge, huge minutes last night.
But let me ask you a question. Let me ask both of you guys a question. Y'all didn't see a different Anthony Davis last night. Even when he was stepping into those three-point shots, it was almost to the point of him saying, this is my team. Like, you could kind of feel the energy of him saying, this is my team. And look, it's no knock on LeBron. LeBron is 39 years old.
Well, but that's what at the beginning of the season when LeBron James said that to embolden AD, he wanted this type
of... He said that two seasons ago, Malika, but has he really... Hold on, time out. Has he really genuinely passed the torch? Like, seriously, watching him play...
AD's got to want, like, they've been begging AD to take shots like this. They've been begging him to shoot the ball from the outside.
That's what we heard Darvin.
I don't think LeBron would love it if AD was getting to the line this much, was taking this many outside shots. And I think it's, you're saying pass the torch. The torch has been passed. AD is the Lakers' best player.
I'm talking about to all three of them, though, Wendy.
I don't think Russell.
That the conversation around D'Angelo Russell was whether or not he should even be on this team or should be traded.
He wasn't playing well. He's played much better since February.
But it was a topic of conversation, and guess who were putting the time ticker or clock on emoji on the Instagram? It was LeBron James. So
hourglass.
But what I'm saying is this, right? I'm watching this team last night, and that team was playing with great joy. They were playing together. The ball wasn't stagnant.
Yeah, and they were down 19.
But they came back and won. It don't matter. It don't matter what you do. It's how you do it.
It wasn't a wonderful night in Milwaukee. It took an extreme situation. So I don't think you should draw any conclusions from it.
What you mean, Wendy?
Some of the stats that they had in that game literally hadn't been done since the 60s.
But they done it.
Okay.
But they've done it. How?
In order for the Lakers to be the best version of themselves in this postseason, they're going to need that Herculean effort, not just from Anthony Davis,
But this is not the first time that D'Angelo Russell has torched the Bucks. He dropped 40 piece on them two weeks ago.
After getting the win with Klay starting again, should the Golden State Warriors bring back their championship lineup for good? We debate. And speaking of the past, do you know what today is, Perk?
What is it?
James Harden. He returns to Philadelphia for the first time tonight.
God, you know,
the city of brotherly love. Will love that. But why this is so much more than just a return game for the Clippers. Plus, What team is lurking in the West that could give Denver a run for their money? Tim Legler, he's going to show us just how dangerous these caped Crusaders can be. You're watching NBA Today.
Caped Crusaders.
You like that alliteration?
Yeah. Man, this motherfucker.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NBA Today is presented by Levi's. The floor is yours.
Outside of the Lakers' big win, there are actually only three other games in the association last night, so let's hit them all with another edition of Coast to Coast. We're going to start in the Big Easy. Zion had his first ever 25-point, 10-assist game, but he went scoreless down the stretch. The Thunder won thanks to a 12-0 run to close up the game. Brian Windhorst, what does this teach you about NOLA?
Yeah, so this was the most minutes Zion had played all season, 39. He had been averaging only like 31. They've had to up his minutes with Brandon Ingram out. The Thunder did a great job playing defense on the stretch. They threw a couple of bodies at him. But Zion was a little outside of his comfort zone, and it kind of showed down the stretch.
Let's keep it moving to Miami. Klay Thompson, he notched 28 points. He was reinserted into the starting lineup. The Warriors got a much-needed win over the shorthanded Heat. Kendrick Perkins, both of these teams, they currently sit in the play-in bracket, but which team should opponents fear more?
The Miami Heat. I mean, they represented the Eastern Conference. They're in the Eastern Conference, right? We, with all the injuries for us with the Cavs and the Knicks, like, they can really make a push. And people in the East don't want to see the Miami Heat, especially the Boston Celtics.
Oh, that may be true. Last stop, we're going back west. Sacramento. Luka had 26, 7, and 5 in the first half. Kyrie Irving dropped 18 and 6 in the second. The Mavs got their franchise record fifth 35-point win of the season. Dallas leapfrogged the Kings for the sixth seed with the win. And according to Luka, the chemistry, it's at an all-time high in Dallas.
You're hearing the MVP shouts from your teammate. We talked to Jason Kidd pregame, and he called you Superman. He called Kyrie Batman. What's that chemistry been like between you two superheroes on this team?
He's the Batman. I'm the Robin. Just amazing, man. Having him on our team is amazing, man. But that's our basketball. He's just a great person, and we all get along so well. So it's just the chemistry is really good right now.
Whoever rung that bell in the background, thank you so very
much.
Right, I know. No matter who's the Batman, though, who's the Robin, the Mavs are rolling. Kyrie and Luka, when they're in the lineup, the team has won 9 of their last 10 games. They're undefeated in the 9 games that Luka's played during that stretch. The guru of the breakdown, Tim Legler, has more on how Dallas has turned the corner.
Well, Malika, there is no doubt the Mavericks are rolling right now, in large part to the chemistry that has developed between Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And sometimes that action involves the two of them, but more often than not, they're independent of each other in the way that they can dominate a defense. Give you a couple examples of this last night and why this team can be so special offensively. This is where Luka is just, I think, on a level of his own. As he comes up the floor, you're going to see what he is looking at. And his eyes right now are scanning the floor at these four defenders. The first he wants to see is who is going to be the defender in the slot right here, going to be guarding Gafford as he runs down the floor. He wants to know who's going to be guarding him and picking up the ball. As you can see right here, it's going to be Keegan Murray. He wants to know if there's going to be a strong side defender on the shooter, and he wants to know who the backline defender is. Is it a guard or a big? Believe it or not, he is processing all of this right now, knowing that his action will elicit the reaction that he is looking for and lead to something easy. So as he gets downhill, he gets to about right here, and he already knows where he's going to go with this basketball, because you can see defensively, unwilling to leave the corner shooter, certainly. If this backline defender, De'Aaron Fox, commits too soon, this basketball is going to be thrown on a rope to the opposite corner for a wide open three. So you see De'Aaron Fox has to sort of hang back. And by doing that, that tells Luka Doncic, all he needs to know. Gafford's going to run to the rim, and let's just throw this thing up there and have fun, because he knows with a guard back there unwilling to commit, there's no way he's going to be able to deter at the rim. As a result, you get an easy flush. Now take a look at Kyrie Irving. He's looking at it a little differently. He's looking at it as a raw scorer, and as he comes up, there's really nowhere to go. You've got this sealed off pretty good at the top defensively. You should be able to contain the basketball, but Kyrie Irving, he's just special in that way. So he's going to come right here with a little crossover, get the split, and then immediately look at these back two defenders, and they're going to have to make decisions on the backside. So as he makes the split, he gets to right here. What's the read going to be? If you come off the corner too early, the ball's going to be thrown on a rope to the corner for a three. Conversely, if you commit too early from the backside, you're going to have a lob at the rim. So instead, as a result, you're going to see both defenders hang back with their respective man, and that lets Kyrie Irving take this thing all the way to the rim. So their ability to win the point of attack and then engage second and third defenders to make the right read, that is why the Mavericks offense right now is humming, and why I believe, Malika, this team has a legitimate shot to get to the conference finals at least.
Tim, thank you. So the Mavs, they're among the teams that are in that scramble between the 4th and 11th in the West, but they feel kind of firmly cemented in a positive direction after that win over the Kings. Remember, these two teams, they meet again on Friday. That could help decide which team avoids the play-in. There's so much movement that's going to happen over the final 10 games. I know it's hard to project who is going to be best positioned to make a deep postseason run without knowing the exact matchup. So let's frame it this way, Perk. Outside of Denver, who do you think is the most dangerous team in the West?
You know, I got the Pelicans as my sleepers, my sleeper to come out the West, but Brandon Ingram is hurt. I don't know when he's going to come back or if he's going to come back. We don't know. But it's so refreshing watching legs break down that film, because it's Luka. Outside of Jokic, Luka is the most dangerous player in the Western Conference. What team is Luka on? The Dallas Mavericks. And then who is his Batman? That's what he said, right? His Batman is Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is averaging the similar numbers up to Anthony Edwards. And look, watching Kyrie play, I haven't seen Kyrie play with this much joy since he won a championship with Cleveland. He's dunking the basketball. He's showing emotions. He's engaged. He's talking defensively. I'm looking at this Dallas Maverick team and the pieces that they added. I'm like, this team is together right now.
These last few weeks, first you talk to a coach, then you talk to an executive, then a scout on the ground, and they start saying, you know, we just played Dallas. We just saw Dallas. I was watching Dallas. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Oh, man. They're big. And that's the thing that teams are noticing. The additions they made at the trade deadline and getting some guys healthy have made them one of the biggest teams in the Western Conference. And size is going to be so important in these playoff matchups. So you look at a team that can bring multiple seven-footers off the bench with Derek Lively and Maxi Kleba, and then has Gafford and P.J. Washington.
Right.
P.J. Washington was a power forward in Charlotte. He can play small forward for them. They are a very, very intriguing team going forward.
Gafford and Washington have really worked out very, very well for them. It feels like Kyrie and Luka are going to give you 70, right, combined in a playoff series. You just need one more guy to come along with them, and it seems like they're starting to find that, and that could be very dangerous for the rest of the West. All right, coming up on NBA Today, Joel Embiid. Is he any closer to a possible postseason return from injury?
I hope not.
We have an update, Kendrick, live from Philadelphia. And the Suns. Oh, man, they begin a historically difficult stretch tonight in Denver. As Phoenix's season hangs in the balance, could this mark the end of all big threes? We explain. Plus, in honor of having former number one pick Paolo Banchero on the show, Kendrick Perkins, he crafted a big list of number one picks in the game right now. I hear we're going to be shocked by your order.
Maybe.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of the winning position in my life.
James Harden is headed to the Los Angeles Clippers.
The front office had other plans. They didn't want me. And no matter what you want to say about his tactics, he has delivered what he's wanted.
I'm not a system player. I am a system.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
It's kind of hard to believe it's been nearly 5 months since James Harden forced his way out of Philadelphia. And tonight, he makes his return to his old stomping grounds to kick off our ESPN doubleheader. Our reporter Tim Bontemps joins us now from Philadelphia. And Tim, if there is one thing that I know about Philadelphia fans is that they are so warm, fuzzy, and loving when a former player comes back into Wells Fargo Center. I'm completely kidding, of course. What are the expectations that James Harden and the Clippers have for starting off this four-game road trip?
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a festive atmosphere, as you pointed out, Malika, as it always is at the Wells Fargo Center here in South Philly. But I also think it's going to be kind of a weird vibe for this game, right? Obviously, there's going to be some emotion about James Harden coming back here to Philadelphia, where he spent most of the last two seasons, resulting in a couple more second-round exits from the playoffs. But this is a matchup that just happened on Sunday in Los Angeles, where the Sixers came away with a big win. Every bit win without Joel Embiid right now is big. And this is also coming 5 months after the trade, so there's been a lot of time for sort of everything to settle in, for the departure to take place. There's also the fact that Joel Embiid is still not playing, and the Sixers are really just desperately trying to get out of the play-in mix in the Eastern Conference standings. And this isn't the kind of titanic battle between the Clippers and a team with a healthy Joel Embiid that we thought it might have been when the schedule came out. So all that's to say that I'm sure it will be a frosty reception for James Harden, but I don't anticipate this being anything like, for example, when Ben Simmons came back here a couple of years ago for the first time. Just don't think it's going to be that same level of animosity for all these reasons involved. It's just kind of a weird atmosphere and setting for this game to come so long after the trade happened.
Absolutely. Well put. Let's dive into Joel Embiid a little bit more, because it's been about 7 weeks since his surgery and there's only 10 games-ish left in the regular season. So where is he at in terms of his recovery?
Well, things have been in a bit of a stasis with Joel Embiid for a couple weeks now, Malika, where, as Nick Nurse said before the Sixers went on the West Coast trip, which Joel Embiid did not go on with the team, that he's on the court doing some working out, but has not been in any full contact situations, has not been in a full practice yet with the team. And so we're still in a bit of a holding pattern where, as you said, there's 10 games left in the regular season. 3 weeks from today, we'll be talking about the play-in tournament in the Eastern Conference. Right now, Philadelphia is sitting in what would be a pretty juicy matchup in a 7-8 situation with the Miami Heat, with the winner of that game likely going on to play the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round, and the loser potentially having to win an 8-9 game just to get the right to play the team with the league's best record, the Boston Celtics, in the first round of the playoffs. But certainly the first order of business for Philly is to get Joel Embiid back on the court, and now that they're back around him for a couple of days, I think we'll get a little bit more of a sense of just how long it's going to take to get him back out there. But even if Embiid does get out on the court, Malik, I think it's safe to assume there's going to need some time for him to ramp himself up and get his conditioning back anywhere near where it was before, when he was leading the league at scoring for a third straight year and playing at an MVP caliber level for the Sixers.
Well, as he continues to ramp up in the hopes of returning, we will continue to update everybody at home. Tim Bontemps, thank you so very much. Enjoy tonight's game. But as Tim knows all too well, even without Joel Embiid, do not count out the 76ers tonight. After all, they went into Los Angeles. They got a wire-to-wire win over the Clippers over the weekend, and Los Angeles followed that up with a blowout loss to Indiana, which caused Ty Lue, Kendrick Perkins, to label this team as soft.
He didn't lie.
So what do you need to see from Harden and the Clippers starting tonight?
Well, first of all, they need to get uncomfortable, right?
Especially, theme of the day.
Yeah, because James Harden is too comfortable, and he's still auditioning, right? He's auditioning for this team. He wants a contract with this team. Well, this is the time of year going into the postseason where all eyes are on James Harden. And with Russell Westbrook coming back, I think Ty Lue has some leverage to have some competition within the locker room. A lot of people look at it as if it's a negative, when it's actually not. You actually love competition in the locker room because it holds guys accountable. And I wouldn't be surprised if James Harden doesn't elevate his game and pick his play up, that if Ty Lue wouldn't roll with Russell Westbrook a lot more as that starting, as that point guard that they need to get Paul George and Kawhi Leonard going like they need to get going offensively.
Look, I don't care if this is a Harden return game. I don't care if they're playing the Washington Generals at Rucker Park.
The Clippers have to win this game. This is a must-win game because they've got to stem the tide. They've got to start this road trip off on a bright spot. They got lucky last night that the Pelicans couldn't take advantage of the Thunder playing at home, and the Pelicans took a loss, and so the Clippers got back into fourth place. But they're still way too close to the play-in than they should be. They should be fighting to get out of the four seed into the three so they don't have to potentially face the Nuggets in the second round. Instead, they got to be looking in their rear view, looking at how close they are to the play-in. And not only that, beyond just where the standings are, these recent losses that they've had are unacceptable. They got to get a win tonight. Forget about what happens with Harden. Forget about the crowd. They got to put together 48 minutes of quality basketball to build some momentum. They got way, way bigger goals than being the four seed or getting James Harden get back game. They got to start turning it around now.
Well, and they're not the only ones included in that sentiment on our ESPN doubleheader tonight. First, you can catch James Harden's return to Philadelphia, which is, Brian, so perfectly laid out. It's so much more than just a return game. That's at 7:30 Eastern. But another one with some serious playoff implications, Kevin Durant and the Suns. They continue their fight to stay out of the play-in, visiting Nikola Jokic and the defending champion Denver Nuggets.
Good luck on that one tonight.
Tips with NBA Countdown. That's at 7 o'clock. Burke, to your point, though, tonight's game, it kicks off a really brutal stretch for the Suns. Every single game are against a team with a better record than Phoenix. So in the latest edition of Bradley Beal's Anscape Video Diary with our very own Mark Spears, he discusses how the scuffling Suns are trying to find their footing.
Yeah, I think everybody wants us to all go score 30 a night in a perfect world. But we realize that won't happen, you know? It's very, you know, fine line. Like, yeah, we can look at it through that lens and kind of go with kind of the opinion of every, like, the whole world and the expectation of what everybody has for the situation, or we can embrace who we are as a team and embrace our versatility and embrace the need of everybody and not just Beal, Booker, and Durant.
No. Time out. We don't expect them to go out, each one of them, and have 30 a night. We expect them to win games at a high level consistently. We expect them to actually look like a basketball team, not a bunch of individuals out there getting their numbers. And if the world have these expectations for you guys, for the Phoenix Suns, what are their expectations in the locker room? Like, Bradley Beal, you left Washington, D.C., got traded to the Phoenix Suns with Kevin Durant, arguably one of the greatest players to ever touch the basketball. Devin Booker, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame when he finished. And y'all really the only team that has a big three. So what are we talking about right now? Yes, the expectations are going to be high. When they traded for Bradley Beal, I know I was one of them that sat up here and said, you know what? They might be the favorite to come out of the Western Conference. Here we are now, they're fighting to survive just to stay or try to get into the postseason.
Do they have enough time to fix it?
Not with that schedule. They just showed who laid that beautiful graphic out. Was it?
No, that was Director Kat.
I love her. But listen, I'm telling you, with that schedule, it's problems.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this. I really do think their loss the other night to the Spurs without Victor was the worst loss in the NBA this year. Mm. I had it with the Bucks losing that game in Memphis right before the break.
Right.
I remember that.
Against a bunch of 10-day guys. But this is really the worst because of that schedule, because they had to win that game. And what I can't explain, and yeah, they've had injuries, absolutely. And yeah, they had a little bit of an unfortunate thing happen to them when they traded for Kevin Durant with all those picks, and then the rules changed with the CBA. It's very intricate. But that doesn't explain why they are one of the worst fourth quarter teams in the NBA in the modern era. Did you hear what I just said? They're one of the worst fourth quarter teams in the modern era. How do you explain? Okay, Durant and Booker and Beal missed games, Perk. At least two of them have played almost all the time. How do you explain being the most dreadful offense in the fourth quarter?
Right.
You lost Chris Paul. I get that. By the way, that graphic, Chris Paul's going to take that to his free agent meetings with teams this summer going, see what happened when I left the Suns? That's an unexplainable, unrecoverable situation. Unrecoverable and unexplainable that they are that bad in the fourth quarter with that kind of talent.
Look at Wendy throwing me a lob, and I'm going to go get it too, because everything you just said pointing in the direction of leadership. Fourth quarter woes like they're having, being the worst in the league, comes down from leadership. You brought up Chris Paul. What was he on that team? The leader, the floor general. So these are the things that we're watching right now. And if we see it, damn it, they got to see it, especially when it comes down to being in the film room. So I'm not going to sit up here and point the finger at Frank Vogel, because this is not a young group of guys. This is a veteran team, Malika. One guy has two finals MVPs, two championships in Kevin Durant. Devin Booker has been to the finals. Bradley Beal, he's 30-plus. Like, this is not a young ball club.
It also might be, though, Kendrick, a stuck ball club, if you will, because they do not have very many options to change the roster that they have right now. So whatever improvements the Phoenix Suns are going to make, not even just this season, they're likely going to have to be intrinsic. They're likely going to have to come from themselves. Am I wrong on that, Brian?
They have no functional way to dramatically make over the roster. If you brought in like a basketball consultant and said, what should we do with this roster? That consultant would probably say, consider trading Bradley Beal to rebuild this team a little bit.
Oh, but wait.
Bradley Beal has a no trade clause.
Yep.
So they really are locked in. They're going to have to find a way, though, to help get some help at point guard.
The Phoenix Suns might be a little bit stuck, but there are several teams who are already flipping the calendar, looking toward the NBA draft. It's just a couple of months away. And speaking of, we have a couple of former number one pick, Paolo Banchero, who's joining us, and projected 2025 number one pick, Cooper Flagg.
Ever seen Cooper Flagg play?
I have, and these are Duke guys.
Well, do not miss Banchero's advice to the prospect of the most hype since Webby. We'll be right back.
Right now, as a 16-year-old, what's your long-term goal?
To get to the NBA.
The Cavaliers select LeBron James.
I want to be an NBA player.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Try to make it to the pros if I have a chance.
That happened, baby.
Everybody loves playing NBA.
I'm going to just keep working hard. And someday, it could be another one that could be compared to me.
I mean, you feel kind of old watching that, don't you? I know I do. Now those players are calling me ma'am. Where does time go? But it's not just when you look at how young those future Hall of Famers look before they started winning finals MVPs. We're 3 months away from the 2024 draft. However, there are many that are already looking to the class of 2025 because that is when Cooper Flagg, the Duke-bound 6'9", do-it-all high school sensation, will likely be the first to hear his name called as the top overall pick. That's according to our draft expert, Jonathan Gavoni. But that's not the only honor that Flagg has at the moment. Just this morning, the 17-year-old from Maine, he was named the 2023-24 Gatorade National Boys Player of the Year. But before the official announcement, another top recruit from Duke, Paolo Banchero, surprised him with the award, and I caught up with him shortly after.
National winning, national Gatorade Boys Basketball Player of the Year, my boy.
Now joining us, the freshly minted Gatorade National Player of the Year, Cooper Flagg, Orlando Magic All-Star Paolo Banchero. Thank you so much for being here, both of you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Let's start with this major award, Cooper, because when you look at some of the past winners, I mean, we're talking about Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Jason Tatum. Those are just a couple to name a few. What does it mean to be included in that company on this list?
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible honor. It's something that kind of I've been watching people win it for years on years. So just to be able to win it and get this opportunity, you know, I'm just really grateful.
Paolo, you've been paying close attention to Cooper's game. He's following in your footsteps, of course, at Duke. For those who don't know, what kind of game does he have?
Yeah, man, just the times I've been around him and played with him, I think the first thing that sticks out is just his instincts on the court. Mm-hmm. You know, you can tell he's been playing the game for a long time, even at his age. You know, he has instincts that kids, you know, in his position and his age don't see. He's just going to make an instant impact, and everybody in Durham will see.
Cooper, what kind of show can Duke fans expect to see on a nightly basis next season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to bring the winning, keep the winning coming, a lot of energy. I think Cameron never lacks any type of energy, so I'm just excited to go in there and have a lot of fun.
Paolo is one of five Blue Devils to be selected with the top overall pick. How important would it be for you to be the sixth, Cooper?
I mean, it would mean a lot, obviously. I think it's kind of any kid's dream, so I'm going to just keep working, keep my head down, just keep pushing forward.
Duke is heading into their first Sweet 16 since you were there, right, Paolo? Did you both pick the Blue Devils to come out of your bracket?
Of course.
Easy yeah, money. I did.
This is the alumni and already knowing what you need to do. All right, Cooper, you have a twin brother, right, Ace? And next year yeah. could be the first year, potentially, that you two are separated? How different will that be?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be a different feeling, you know, not living at home with him or going to the same school or playing on the same team. But, I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to it at the same time. You know, we both got to carve our own path and, you know, take our own journeys.
The Magic have their best record since 2011, a chance to win a playoff series for the first time in over a decade. How are you preparing for your first postseason run here, Paolo?
Yeah, just trying to keep it simple. Keep doing what I've been doing since October. Obviously, it's still a very tight race in the East. So, we got to stay locked in on these last games, you know, because it determines a lot. I think everybody's excited and everybody's getting ready. This is our coaches, our players' first experience in the playoffs. So, you know, we just got to stick together as a unit and, help each other out. You know, it's going to be fun, though. I can't wait.
Do you think you guys have the potential here to really surprise some people in the postseason?
100%. I think, you know, we've been surprising people all year. And you know, we don't want to just get to the postseason just to say that we made it. You know, we want to make some noise and, you know, obviously we'll have a matchup in the first round. So we're going to take it, you know, one game at a time. And, you know, we're going to come in there, you know, believing that we can win.
Gentlemen, thank you so very much for spending a little bit of time with us here on NBA Today.
Thank you. Thanks, Malika.
All right, Perk, Paolo, the reigning rookie of the year. It may not be very long before Cooper Flagg is getting the same honor. Cooper said, right, he hopes that he goes number one, which got us thinking, who are the best number one overall picks in the NBA right now?
Now, listen, this list may make some people uncomfortable, but damn it, you're supposed to be uncomfortable because I'm the only person supposed to be comfortable because it's my list. Big Perks, big list, best active number one overall picks. At number five, bam, put him up here. You know this man. He has made this organization relevant again since Kevin Garnett. We're talking about Anthony Edwards. Constant highlights on a night-to-night basis. Plays both ends of the floor. Right now this year, averaging a career-high 27, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. This man has the potential of being the future face of the NBA at number 4. Come on, give it to me, Malika.
Bam!
There you go. Put him up there. Wimby. Victor Wembanyama.
Already.
Woj said that he might be the best player on the floor in the next 3 years, and damn it, I believe him. He's in the running right now for the Defensive Player of the Year, leading the league in block shots, doing some things that we have never seen before offensively from a 7'5", what is he, an alien?
7'5 alien.
Yeah, a 7'5 alien. He's on this list. Look at that smile. He's mature now, too. Come on, Wendy, give him some energy right here.
Bam!
That was crucial. Anthony Marshawn Davis, career average, 24 points and 10 rebounds. I know he take a lot of criticism, but this man has been a walking double-double since he stepped foot in the league. NBA champion, a top 5 talent at the power forward position that we have ever seen in the history of the NBA. Yeah, AD, Anthony Marshawn Davis. At number 2, come on, Malik, you got another shot.
Bam!
There you go, I like that. Kyrie Irving. Look, Kyrie Irving, 23 points. 4 rebounds, 6 assists is what he's averaging for his career. Part of one of the greatest, if not greatest, finals in NBA history, won a championship with Cleveland. The most skilled player to ever touch the damn basketball, in my opinion. Again, this is my list. What Kyrie does with the basketball, a true magician at what he does with his craft. Bam! Put it up here, number one, the Kane. Old 39-year-old senior citizen LeBron James still trucking and doing his thing in the league. He has played against guys' dads and dominated them. Now he's dominating their sons. If he keep it up, he's going to be dominating their grandsons. His resume is longer than a holiday weekend. We could go down the line. He's the all-time leading scorer, most pressure to ever have as far as coming out of high school or as a prospect. Again, if this list make you uncomfortable, it's supposed to. I'm the only person that's supposed to be comfortable when it comes to this list because it's my list.
It ain't Brian's list. It's not my list. It is
exactly.
Your list. He wasn't number one, but he was 1-1. Klay Thompson, he was the 11th overall pick in the draft, and he gave us a vintage performance in the Warriors' win over the Heat. So is it time for Klay to return as a full-time starter for Golden State? We discuss.
NBA Today is presented by Levi's. The floor is yours.
The Warriors are doing everything they can to make the playoffs, including reinserting Klay Thompson back into their starting lineup. Klay dropped 28 points, 11 for 20 shooting, including 6 of 14 on threes in Golden State's win over the Heat. And the Warriors, they were able to keep a one-game cushion over Houston for that 10th spot. Now, the Warriors starting five was able to really outpace the Heat starters when they were both on the floor together. The Warriors outscored them 42-19 in their time on the floor. But Steve Kerr said that Thompson's move back to the starting lineup, it may not be permanent. Brian, do you think it is time for Klay to return as a full-time starter?
I think what it's time for is for the Warriors to know how they're going to play from night to night.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not there. Now, Klay did have a great game. You know, if Klay can work as a starter, fine. But Steve Kerr is in game 71, I think. Still doesn't know what his starting lineup's going to be. Still doesn't know how long it's going to last. It's been a revolving door. This is something that's happened with the Lakers. Well, the Lakers have settled on one that's right there, right in front of them. They still don't know how they're going to play, and that's a real problem. If it is more of a role for Klay, that's great. But he's played old, he's played young, he's played in between. Now he's gone back to more of an older lineup. Perk, I don't know where they're going to go.
Well, I mean, everything you said was right, but quick message to all the young guys in the league real quick. Klay don't have that game if his mentality is not right, right? Staying engaged and then all of a sudden getting back into the starting lineup, having a beautiful moment like he did last night, dropping that 28-piece. You got to stay mentally engaged. That was a prime example of it for the youngsters out there.
No rest for the wicked, though. The Warriors are back in action tonight against the Orlando Magic. Ooh. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you on NBA Countdown.